This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March is here, and that means Zen Sports has launched a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. It's the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes, and that means that one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. Plus 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the championship game or $50 cash. So $100 bonus bet or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March, every dollar bet in March, and you can also earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JeffTN, JeffTN, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they're offering multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See full terms on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 and older or located in, and also located in Tennessee to gamble. Let's get into the list. Dolly Parton. All right, Kevin, you sent this story over to me, and my link is not pulling up. But basically, Dolly's buying ponchos?
Well, not exactly, right? So according to the Daily Memphian, so there's internet rumors are out there that
swirling.
Yeah, the swirling that Dolly Parton owns the West Memphis Ponchos.
And that is the only...
Yeah, go ahead. But that's, it's closed.
I thought everything closed.
Yeah, all of them are closed, and they sold off the cheese dip. But, you know,
we got to discuss the first important question, because my wife and I were having this debate on Saturday as we were sharing some ponchos. I argue that I can't notice a difference post-sale.
Mm-hmm.
She argues the viscosity is a little different, to which I didn't really want to be smug and correct her and basically say the viscosity changed like 5 or 6 years ago. It was like pre-selling.
Right. I feel like it still tastes like the ponchos that, thickness has always been a thing with ponchos cheese dip.
And well, of course, the sacred rules, you don't heat up white ponchos, or you do heat up white ponchos, you don't heat up yellow ponchos.
Right.
Things have to have rules.
Right. It's best served at room temperature.
Correct.
I believe it says it on there. But, I mean, so there was some, so apparently that when the ponchos sold, the family, after I guess the matriarch died, the family chose to sell the cheese dip and
the recipe
and the operations and the branding. They did that, but then the restaurants were a whole different thing, and they decided to shut those down. And they wanted to donate the land to St. Jude, but there was like they couldn't do it. So they wanted to find another charity to donate it to the land. They were just, we just want to give this land to an organization we like and have them sell it or do whatever they want with it. And so they went with Dolly Parton, Jeffrey. I don't know if your daughter is a part of this, but you know, I highly recommend it to anybody. Yes,
she's in it.
Yes.
And I think technically the people we bought the house from, their kid is in it too.
Oh, you're getting more than one book?
Kind of double dipping a little bit.
Yeah,
they moved out of state. Yeah, I don't know.
So Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, if y'all don't know, is unbelievable. So when your kid is, you can sign your kid up until age five, they get a book in the mail every single month. It's one of the coolest activities, and it's made my daughter, helped enhance her love of reading. So if you're out there and you're listening and you have a young child in your life, even if it's not your kid, figure out a way to make sure they're signed up. It's only available in certain areas, but it's definitely available in the Memphis area. If you live in the Memphis area and you have a young child under the age of five, they can get a book from Dolly Parton every single month until they turn the age of five. Anyway, so the charity, they donated this to Dolly.
Is it month or quarter?
It's every month. Every month you get a book. Every single month you get a book from Dolly. And so
checks the mail in my house.
I guess they're selling it now. So it got in the news that Dolly's name is attached to it because the Dolly Wood Foundation is technically who owns it. But then if you see, right? So like imagine this, if you're looking stuff up and like, why is the Dolly Wood Foundation own this abandoned land in West Memphis, Arkansas? So what would you immediately think here, Jeffrey, right? Are we getting a new Dollywood, right? A new Dollywood?
I have to shout out Jody Callahan of the Daily Memphian.
What's that?
This paragraph was phenomenal. In a breathless Facebook post last week, which may have had some locals dreaming of a Dollywood West amusement park, someone wrote, quote, Dolly Parton acquired property in West Memphis, 2 exclamation points. That is an outstanding paragraph. It seems like they're, right? They're donating it.
Right, they did not seek the land out.
And Dolly's company was reached for comment and said, no, we were trying to sell it to a third party, but they didn't get a buyer. And then I think that's when the donation came into play.
Yeah. So, it was donated to them, and now they're going to try to sell it. Like, they didn't seek it out. It wasn't like Dollywood was seeking out. But can we just play fantasy for a minute here, Jeffrey, here? Fantasy booking, right?
We got to talk about this.
Like, what if they're just denying it? And what if she is planning Poncho's World out there?
Is there that much land? Because I will say this, the detail that shocked me.
I don't think it's that much land.
1.5 million.
Well, they're about to get a Buc-ee's over there, so it's gonna be huge. But maybe she does.
Isn't the Buc-ee's?
There's gonna be one in West Memphis.
I know, but is it that close?
Probably not. No, I don't think it is.
Because I thought the Poncho's was like closer to Southland.
Look, Jeffrey, all I'm saying is
I'm trying to remember.
Is there a possibility though that they change their mind and decide to open Poncho's land?
I'm just gonna say,
based on all the
comments from Dolly's side. I do not think.
Can we get a log flume where you ride in a Brim's potato chip down a log flume and land into a pool of ponchos? Can we get that?
Shout out the Brim Halls.
Can we get one of them? Maybe have the warm ponchos on one side for the people who want to warm up their ponchos.
I'll play along.
And then one.
I'll play along.
Can we get that ride?
If you were planning on building Dollywood West, you would not
West Memphis. Yeah.
We don't plan on building Dollywood West because then the value of everything would go up.
You're saying they could be denying because they want to make sure they can secure the land around it.
Correct.
And we're going to get this huge, oh my goodness, Dollywood West Memphis. I mean, think how it would pair with the dog track. And
hey, RIP.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
It's just the casino now.
It's just the casino.
I was trying to explain, we had friends in town.
Yeah, how old am I?
We had friends in town.
Am I always going to call it the dog track? What's going on?
I mean, I think to a certain degree, it's always going to be remembered as the dog track. But, I mean, the new tower is super nice. And that was what my buddy was asking as he drove
in. But isn't that thing? We called it the dog track. I'm in the Southland now. I mean, we do call, you know, but like for so long, it was just like you called it the dog track before they got the casino. It felt like
I ever called it Southland. But I did. It got me reminiscing about
the start of the casino games. Now we kind of call
there
it.
Was nothing more electric, though. I'd never wanted to go to the dog track so badly than when I was like 12 years old and you'd be watching like WMC and then they would just show that mechanical rabbit running and those dogs chasing it. I was just like, that looks like the greatest place ever. And then you realize, like, you get a little bit older, you're like, no, that's probably one of the most depressing places on the planet.
But the,
I can speak from also experience.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, but we know Dolly's not opening a dog track because she can't legally.
Correct.
And you know, so, but I can see your theory, though. Like, she wants to get that.
I mean, the Poncho's River.
Because think about what Disney does. You know, they want to buy up all that land. You gotta have room to grow if you're going to build Dollywood West Memphis.
The only problem, though, is also for using the Disney plan. Like, they also, like, would have, like, 30 shell companies buying up certain plots.
Oh.
This seems to be a one buyer.
So, it doesn't seem like it's a top secret thing, but it's such a bizarre. Great to see Poncho's back in the news. Great to know that you and your wife are enjoying Poncho's on Saturday. Me and my wife had some, where we've been binging Deal or No Deal Island this week. So, gotta get some ponchos. It's
so
right
I'm
there
sorry.
In the fridge. We got some ponchos, pulled out the brims and the ponchos. I mean, it's what you do if you live in Memphis.
But I can't. I always felt like
Poncho's is underutilized brand.
I can agree with you on that. Do also enjoy also when you send Rendezvous Nachos.
Yeah.
If you send like the pack over the mail, like they include Poncho's cheese dip.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I do enjoy that.
I've always wanted.
If I'm playing along though,
yeah,
what
could we do here?
What if Dolly builds some kind of tribute to her late husband?
There could be a tribute.
Although I don't really. Does anyone actually? That's the other thing. Does anyone know Dolly's husband's name? Hand up, I have no
Carl,
idea.
Carl.
Okay.
Maybe.
You're farther along than
he just, I am. Because he
further
just passed,
along than
so I wouldn't have been able to tell you before then. But you raise an interesting point. So all presidents get their own like library,
correct.
Right? So Dolly has her library is the Imagination Library, and it's scattered throughout home. She doesn't actually have a physical location,
right?
So maybe that could be a thing, and maybe that's what they were thinking. Maybe that's what the Poncho's family was thinking, and that's not their last.
No,
name,
I think they were just saying we don't want to.
We don't want this land.
Yeah, well, no, we just don't want to sell. They do whatever kid that inherits their parents' company. When can we sell?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They definitely did that. But I still think Poncho's. Anybody who's saying Poncho, I think Poncho's is still worthy of a spot in your refrigerator. In
I agree.
Your family function, or your holiday function, or your work function. If Poncho's isn't there, I question what's going on.
Let's go with CBS. All right, so CBS announced today that they are shaking up both their college and pro football coverage. With Gary Danielson signing off this season, Charles Davis is set to replace him, and J.J. Watt will replace Davis. So for those that don't know, Danielson right now is the lead college football on CBS. He's partnered up with Brad Nessler, and he's the lead analyst on this. And he's pretty much one of the internet's most hated analysts. I've never had a problem with him. He's kind of a character of himself, but nobody identifies him as touchdown quite like Gary does. But that means also Charles Davis, former UT Vol, who was the number two analyst. He was paired up with Ian Eagle on CBS. He's moving over to college, and they're bumping up JJ from the NFL Today, the CBS studio show. They're moving him into broadcasting. So a couple of things on this. One think piece I was reading, I believe it was Sports Media Watch, called it a clear demotion for Charles Davis. And I think that's an interesting question. So he's the number two at CBS,
yep.
The number two analyst. That does mean that you get a playoff game, but, and maybe it, because the Big Ten on CBS didn't translate like the SEC on CBS did, but it's also
shocker, yeah.
Well, it's also fair to point this out.
Shocker.
They don't get first pick. CBS, when it was the SEC on CBS,
they got the biggest game.
I think it was 11 out of 13 weeks they got the biggest game. So CBS is only occasionally, I think it's like four times a year, gets the biggest game. Then Fox gets it some. Fox has first right, and they get to pick the best one. So Fox will always have. Fox is always going to have the Ohio State-Michigan game. They get to pick the best ones that they want, and then NBC and CBS kind of rotate from there. But
it's very disappointing. Like we just lost. I love the SEC on CBS. It just felt right, and we lost it right before we get the NBA on NBC back. Right?
Yeah,
like a lot of like we can't have it all at once. We can't have all of it, but we're anyway.
Well, the thing though is, I think to NFL people, it's a clear and obvious demotion.
Sure.
But I would also argue this. This is not Greg Olsen getting bumped for Tom Brady. Because the right. thing that I want to know is, before you tell me it's an obvious demotion, did he get an obvious pay cut? Because you know what was obvious about Greg Olsen's demotion? He went from basically making like $20 million to making $10 million. That's an obvious demotion.
Right. He got a big pay cut because of that?
Oh, yeah.
See, that is, I would hate Tom Brady if I was him.
I give Olsen credit. Like, he's never made it personal about Brady, but he's also not shied away from, it sucked.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else he could have done.
Now, I would
absolutely
also,
nothing else, unless he would have, I don't know, he you know, would have had to date a Kardashian or somebody. Like, he would have put himself into the news.
See, like,
that's
then,
the only way he could have kept that job, is if he would have got in a celebrity relationship. I think he might have been able to do something. You don't think that would
help?
I mean,
obviously you have to deal with
Greg Olsen.
Well, you have to deal with the fact that he's kind of a family man. So you would be breaking up your family to go.
I'm not advocating for that.
One thing we can acknowledge in America, we don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
right.
Attention is attention.
I wasn't advocating for that. I was trying to figure out how could he have kept the job?
I don't,
because you can't. He could not have.
But like,
without Brady not doing it.
Well, that's my point. I'm even going down the path for you. Like, for instance, let's say Kelce retires this year.
Yeah.
And let's say he and Taylor are still together in whatever shape, form, or fashion.
Right.
I still don't think Kelce can replace Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's still bigger.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So is there anything Greg Olsen could have actually done? My answer would be no.
But he could. I mean, he could replace. All right. So if somehow Fox, yeah, that you're a big hypothetical on the Travis Kelce. I haven't thought of this, but I think there's a chance Brady gets bumped for him. I think there would be a chance. I don't know why they would do it, but if they had them both under contract, they would probably try a three-man booth.
George, you got to take.
I think they would do a three-man booth. I think his relevance of being on, like, I think they would go. But I don't think Fox would pursue it. I don't know. They do go after the big stars. They want him on NFL Sunday in the Jimmy Johnson spot or something. I don't know.
So, George, what's your? Because I have a take after this.
My thought was, if Tom Brady ends up getting even more involved or into the actual day-to-day of the Raiders, which it seems like he is kind of leaning that way, at what point does Fox kind of have to say, like, okay, we kind of need someone who's just focused on this?
So this would be my take on this, because at first I always thought, like, oh, well, this is heading to a divorce. Because Brady, it's very obvious Brady is more into being an owner to me. I'm not saying he mails it in. I think part of his problem is, A, he doesn't get to do the production meetings, but B, it almost feels like sometimes he over-prepares. Like, it's like he's just trying to, like, you know, you're getting into the test and you see the open prompt at the end and you just want to scattershot everything you learned. And so it feels like oftentimes he does that. Also, he's not super critical. It's like, we want you to be critical, buddy. Like, that's kind of why you're in there. But my now working theory is, if he makes it to next year, I think he's making it. Because I have now just come to the conclusion that the NFL really doesn't care. And Fox clearly doesn't care. Now, where it would become a problem for Fox is, if Fox starts doing the math that, because this is the thing that we'll never know. Fox's view is, you sit there and say that we're paying Tom Brady $5 million. I can't remember. I think it fluctuates, but I think it's $35 million a year, roughly. Fox believes that he is worth it to them because he closes that many ad deals. And so that's their justification. So until it becomes a point where they go, we don't think he's worth this, then I think they would rip up the contract. But I don't think, like, in the end, they kind of did the thing that most franchises do, like good franchises. When you, like, they've locked him in at whatever the price is, but that's 10 years. Like, every number keeps going up and up. And so
10 years.
So in 5 years, if Aikman's on the market, I think that's roughly about, as many as contracts up in, like, let's say Aikman's up in 5 years for kicks and giggles. What if the market is $45 million, but they already have him locked in at 32 and a half.
I think the interesting point is Tom Brady is there until he kind of doesn't want to be there. There's not an obvious person that could replace
him. And I mean, but Gloria,
I do think Travis Kelce is a guy. If he Kelce wanted to do it, if Fox was able to reach an agreement with him, and they wanted like that, he's the only guy right now, former NFL player, that could come in and take Brady's spot.
I don't even think he could, though.
I know you say he couldn't. I'm saying it's possible. I think it's possible for him if he wanted it.
I'm saying this
wouldn't make any sense.
I'm saying this is stupid because we just had a tight end be Fox's lead analyst, and he's clearly better than literally the greatest quarterback of all time.
Correct.
But for whatever reason, we've decided quarterbacks know the most.
Well, I mean,
I loved Olsen, by the way. Like, I mean, Olsen, he was fantastic.
Now, where I would also say Olsen's going to be just fine, we got Olsen. It went to Brady. Even the most Brady, the biggest Brady homer can't act like it was good.
So if Olsen starts dating Taylor Swift, I think he could get the job.
I think Olsen's waiting.
We know he's great, and he's dating Taylor Swift.
So Olsen's contract will be up, I think, in 2 years. And he's going to be the most sought after free agent. But what I also think, though, so most three-man booths don't work.
Oh, I'm not advocating for the three-man.
No, well, I mean, that would be like an obvious replacement is put another voice in there. But oftentimes what you find is when you put another voice in there, it gets even more awkward. And so, like, the thing is, it's kind of like on Burkhart's shoulders of trying to prop up Brady. And I think he actually did a pretty good job. I think Brady had a lot of swings and misses. But I've also just come to the conclusion, it's like, Florio put it this way, and it was a little more blunt, but I do think I'm open to the interpretation, which is, Tom Brady's largely been someone his entire career that he's just said the rules don't apply to me.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But all right, so there's these shakeups at CBS. There's one big one that you've ignored here, Jeffrey. It's going to change the landscape of sports television.
So when you told me this, I thought it was like a rumor, because the big story is, move over, Coach K. There's a new king in town for the retirement tour. They've announced that Jim Nantz is retiring from the Masters in, wait for it, 2036. 11 years from now. And so the other thing that made no sense to me is CBS's contract with the Masters is independent of its contract with the PGA Tour, because the Masters is not part of the tour. That is a year-to-year contract. So have we gotten any information of how he picked out 2036?
Well, yeah.
Didn't it say, correct me if I'm wrong as well here,
right.
I thought the article or the headline was that Nantz was going to retire, period, because that's also I want to say for the Masters specifically, that's the 100th anniversary of the Masters.
So my first guess was 36 has to be around the 100th.
I believe it's the 100th.
I think the first one's in 34. I want to say they obviously postponed one for COVID, and I think there was another one in the war.
I want to say 2036 is when that's the 100th anniversary of the Masters. And at that point, Jim Nantz will be how old?
So we looked this up. What was it? He's 63. Is that right?
He was 63, 60, or 65, something like that.
He's 65 currently. 65, so yeah. At that point, he'll be 75 years old.
That's a great time. If you're a broadcaster, you can go till 75. You know, as he said, depending on health, and be on top of your game still. I think he still is on top of his game, and it's going to rely. His quotes were, obviously CBS, and the Masters himself. They all have to agree that they want to keep him there. But 2036.
Well, there's no one to.
He's talking. I don't think so. I don't know if he announced it or if he was just quoted at saying this, and so then it gets picked up. You see headlines all the time, Jeffrey, like so and so announced or so and so breaks their silence.
Correct.
Like, they weren't purposely silent. They just
were asked a question.
Like,
well, they asked a question.
Jim Nantz breaks his silence on his retirement day. Like,
no, we've made every headline just.
Everybody's
like,
breaking their silence. I hate it. Like, what do you mean they're breaking their silence? That's like none of your business what they thought of this, and now they're finally going to say something because people won't stop asking, or it has nothing to do. They weren't purposely being silent. They were busy with other stuff. Anyway,
I also think, there's no one to replace him, though.
Like, when are you going to retire? And he finally threw a date on it. What?
There's no one. Like, so for instance, because he stepped away from basketball, college basketball, and Eagle has taken over that. He's still the lead NFL, and presumably Ian Eagle's going to take over for that at some point.
I bet that lines up in that 10 years, though. But you could do golf. I feel like golf is something, right, you can do longer than
the other thing is golf doesn't have, like, a clear number two. Like, Andrew Catalan, who's kind of their,
and the older you get, the more you're...
He's, like, their lead fill-in. But, like, he does, like, the tournaments that Nance and...
There's a lot of people out there that like golf.
No, but I'm saying, like, CBS is a big in-the-family company.
True.
Like, that's right. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of that. They want somebody.
But golf, I feel like he could do golf forever if he wanted to, if he didn't, you know. Because the older you get, the more like your audience you're like, right? Like, you know, I'm a wrestling announcer. I don't get younger because that to be more like the audience.
No, I wish we could. Know?
Right? But yeah, but in golf, the older you get, the more you are like your audience. So it's a little bit opposite from.
Although, golf's weird in that. It had, like, the actual growing audience.
Is there a growing audience?
It actually kind of is. But it's young, but it's not watching broadcast. It's like, they're YouTube golf is exploding.
All I know is my dad's 89 and he has a golf channel on all day. That's all I know.
I mean, I'm 36.
And you have it on all day.
A large portion of the day. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk about someone who probably does not have golf channel on right now. CJ Hurt's going to join us next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Low-carb, keto, yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah.
CJ Hurt's a Grind City media personality. You can see him each and every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, check out the HBCU Huddle, all on Grind City Media. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. All right, CJ, see if you can help us out on some of our Sherlock Holmes work we've been doing today. Have we identified when Desmond Bane's shove into Santi actually occurred?
I think... be on the lookout for Kyra also. I think that it happened, not you guys. Y'all are in the studio. Y'all aren't going to see Kyra. I'm supposed to be getting cookies with a friend at Devour. So,
we made a note. We made a mental note for you.
We're watching out.
I appreciate it. We think that it happens because Jessica said she Zapruder filmed it and was watching the entire, went back and watched and rewatched and kept watching. but she thinks it was third quarter. They had the Grizzlies were up 9 maybe, but there was a fast break where Dez didn't pick up the ball and Santi was expecting him to pick up the ball. Nothing ended up happening from it because the dude just like bounced the ball off his leg and went out of bounds.
Yeah, I can remember
and
that play.
That's where she thinks it is. And I'm going to roll with her. That's where I think it popped off.
Wait, what part Whenever of the game it was happened, it?
So we're
it
on
needed
the,
to happen.
Because I did the Zapruder film as well. I think it has to be early first quarter or early third quarter because if you look at everyone else, they're still in their shooting tops. And, like, Zach hasn't been sweating and Luke hasn't been sweating. So, like, they either
so –
to me,
it has to be third quarter then.
It's either – it has to be first quarter or third quarter.
Didn't Edie start?
No, Huff started.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Because I went back to make sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure – because – during the Pete's interview with Taylor, honestly, he kind of set it up like, I was like, is Zach out of the rotation? Because Huff, the other reason why I was thinking the first quarter would also make sense, because Jessica's point makes sense too, but the first quarter makes sense to me because their defensive effort sucked in the first quarter. And so I was like, Dez is one of the, I think right now there's three guys that care every single possession, and it's Dez, Jaren, and Scotty. And then, like, beyond that, I'm talking the normal rotation guys. Like, yeah, I think when Cam Spencer gets in there, he cares, but he's not in there regularly. And I could see where the way that game started, it was frustrating. But the play that Jessica points out makes all the sense in the world to me, too.
So when I'm lip reading it, because I'm doing my Zapruder film also, and so I'm lip reading it, And Dez, I think Dez is saying, stop. Like, I get it. You don't have to keep harboring on it. I get it. Stop. So I think that lends itself for me to Dez making the mistake, Santi getting on to him about it.
Yeah.
And then Dez, like, okay, you don't have to harp on it. I understand. You already made your point. So I think that would be more so in the third quarter. But we can dissect both of them because it's interesting. If it's in the first quarter, it is, hey, everybody get your head out your
yes.
butt and do a better job playing defense. If it's the third quarter, though, it is one of the things they've had trouble with. One of the many things they've had trouble with here recently is stopping runs and starting their own runs and maintaining said runs. And so it might be, if it's in the third quarter, one of those things where, hey, we're up now. We need to be trying to expand on this. Otherwise, we're going to let a team that has no business being back into the game, getting back into this game. And so either way it goes, I love the fact that accountability is being handled by the players. By Dez and Santi in particular, because those are two of the dudes who've been here the longest. When you look at everybody who was on the court or on the bench during that timeout, because they were on the court, Scottie Pippen been here 2 years, a 2-year NBA player, if I'm recall correctly. Jalen Wells is a rookie, and then who was the other? Was it Jay Huff? Another guy who's
yes.
2 years, right? Two of those dudes.
I mean, Huff, for all intents and purposes, starting, like on paper, Huff isn't a rookie, but he is.
Two of those dudes were G League dudes last year, and then another one is a rookie. So if something's going on and something needs to be fixed and it's one of your stars who's making the mistake, somebody with some status, some veteranship has to be able to step in and correct that and address that. And I think Santi being that guy, not backing down, not allowing Dez to make mental mistakes or vice versa. Right, I think that is good. That means that they are frustrated. They are frustrated with losing, not with one another. They're frustrated with losing and the mistakes, the simple mistakes that players who shouldn't be making the simple mistakes continuously make. Is they know it's not going to fly anymore, and they're holding one another accountable, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, when push comes to shove, you know, this is what the Grizzlies need here. They won. All right, they won.
And also, like, Desmond Bane clearly doesn't know his own strength.
I said this is a big win for short guys. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. I know Dez isn't short, but, like, the fact that when you knock down a 7-footer like that, I kind of gave a fist pump.
Well, listen, Santi is, you know, I think I could give Santi a good shove and have him trip a little bit. Right, you got monster arms like Dez, of course. Those little compact-ass arms are going to pack a little bit more punch than what Dez may have intended. What?
Maybe he should be in Avengers Doomsday like everybody else is going to be. You know, they announced the cast today. He would be great.
Turn up. Santi gets up, and Dez is still there, but they're not trying to grab one another or swing on one another. It's not a fisticuffs-type situation. It's, hey, my bad, I probably shouldn't have pushed you that hard. And Santi, hey, get your head out your ass type stuff. So,
and John's laughing in the background, right? Like that, you can't watch the tape and break it down without seeing that.
So Edie steps in, Wells steps in, everybody's up off the bench. Scotty has gotten up off the bench asking Dez to sit down way away from Santi. And Dez is like, I'm fine. And then Josh steps in. Josh's away from the play. That's the best part. Josh's away from the action, just looking all, I don't know what he's doing, counting the fans in the stands or something like that. He's just off in no man's land. He hears people yelling, and he turns around. And he's like, oh, something's going on here. Hey, Dez, back up a little bit, man. And Dez backs up once Ja comes in, and then Ja turns around and he's laughing.
Yeah, the other thing.
It's intense, man. It's intense. This is the time of the year for that stuff to pop off.
No, I'm with you. I view it as a positive. Like, in the end, like, I have a big, like, some of the games I've had a big problem with effort. Like, at least this is showing some fight. I guess that's the other question I had. The final score was what it was. I still didn't leave that game feeling, like, awesome about their current form.
No, I don't leave that game feeling awesome about the current form either, but the current form is what you got.
Well, and
so
it was
weird.
They
needed to get that win. They had to get that win
I agree.
From a standing standpoint. The Warriors lost, so there are three games on them. They're right there, able to compete for a three seed now, maybe even a two seed if the Rockets start fumbling about, which we've seen. We've seen everybody 2 through 10 in the Western Conference fumble about for extended stretches this season. So who's to say that the Lakers, who are currently struggling right now, and or the Nuggets, who are also currently struggling right now, and the Rockets, who, while they aren't struggling right now, they were struggling 2 months ago. They were struggling in February. So who's to say that one of those teams doesn't hit a tough patch here because of injuries or because of mental mistakes or what have you, a tougher schedule? I don't know. And the Grizzlies be right there with a chance to do what they've always wanted to do, which is to get home court advantage in the first round. All right, so the season's not over. You got to win these types of games, though. And unfortunately, they don't have many of them. They have the Jazz. They just beat the Jazz. And they end the season with the Mavericks, and everybody in between there is pretty good in competing for some type of playoff positioning. So that was a game you had to get.
If you had to set an over-under of how many games we see Ja in the last 10, what would you set it at?
What? Are we doing this for Grizzly fans or just for fans in general?
I'm letting you set the line for Vegas.
For Vegas. Because Grizzly fans are going to move that line.
Obviously.
I would probably set it at 4 and then have to come up to 5.5.
Sounds right? Like the number of SEC teams advancing in the Elite Eight here. The same type of numbers here.
His team could stop one of them.
That is true.
Well, hey. It's not like Michigan don't got a long storied history of beating the hell out of the SEC.
Oh, come on now.
Didn't Michigan beat Alabama 2 times in a row in post play in college football?
I would argue they beat Alabama once. They beat Michigan East once. I'm sorry. They beat Washington East.
Hey, CJ, you're a notorious SEC hater. What do you think about the SEC's performance so far in the NCAA tournament?
I am a truther. I don't hate the SEC.
Truther.
I just don't drink the Kool-Aid that you guys be drinking about the SEC.
What do you mean? It's sweet tea, man. It's the SEC. It's sweet tea.
No,
it's not Kool-Aid.
Man, I'm not drunk off of SEC. It's great. It's impressive. How many teams? 8, 7?
There's 7 now with a chance to have 6 in the Elite Eight. Yeah.
I want to be clear, though. I'm also not a...
That's incredible, man.
I'm not an SEC peddler, too, because... Oftentimes, the SEC propaganda makes me roll my eyes. I do also think that it was very obvious coming into the tournament. There was a lot of pre-written columns about this league was overrated. And to me, the most important thing was, okay, you needed the top 4 teams. I thought were all going to be fine because I think they've been battle-tested this year. But what would the middle of the league do? And the middle of the league kind of showed up.
The top 4 teams in the SEC have been incredible all season. All right, like that's just the facts of the matter. And then you throw in a team like Ole Miss, who's found themselves in their first Sweet 16 and God knows how long. Ole Miss got, what, 3 Sweet 16?
No, they've won. This is the second.
This is only the second one.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like, come on, man. You throw in some of these other teams, your Texas A&M's, who Michigan beat, but Texas A&M was a really good team throughout the course of the year as well. So you throw in some of those type teams, man. Yeah, the SEC basketball, men's basketball, has had an incredible season. And 7 Sweet 16 teams, remarkable. A lot has been made about there only being 4 different conferences in this year's Sweet 16. And is that an indictment on the NIL era? No, it's an indictment on how good the damn SEC has been this year. No conference should have 7 teams in the Sweet 16. If the SEC didn't do that, that would probably open up space for a couple more conferences to get teams in. But, hey, tip of the cap to them, standing ovation to them, because this is a really good run postseason-wise and for the entirety of the season for the SEC.
And you got to think, if this happened,
that's good.
If this happened 10 years ago, right, where if we had only 4 conferences in the Sweet 16 10 years ago, the SEC probably would not be one of those conferences. Pretty much guaranteed the SEC would not be one of those conferences. So it's a different look of power now that the SEC has in this sport, or dominance, at least this season. And we'll see how you know it carries on at least to the Elite Eight. Are you what do you think about John Calipari's performance?
But also, us acting like Arkansas, not saying us, but like people acting like Arkansas Cinderella is makes me roll my eyes. It's like they probably have the highest paid roster in the entire country.
They have the worst seed, though.
They're 10 seed, and they come from that SEC, and they weren't a middle of the pack SEC team. They were a back of the pack SEC team for much of the regular season. This team, while incredibly talented, the thought on them coming into the tournament was they're here, but they'll be out soon. Like that was the thought there, a 10 seed for crying out loud. Coach Calipari has had much higher seeded teams, better teams than this Arkansas team get bounced in the round of 32. If he gets this team to a Final Four, it just shows you the stupidity of college basketball. And that's why I love this time of the year in that damn sport. Because are you good?
It's madness!
Sure, you're good. Does that matter much? No, not really. One game scenario, baby. Is everybody going to be hot? Are you going to get in foul trouble? Are you getting friendly whistles? Because if not, you'll find your ass sitting at home with the bad teams. And it, like you said, Kevin, it is just pure madness, and I love it.
CJ, we really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Bron Bron was telling some absolute stories today on Pat McAfee. I think I'll isolate and say that his number one is that Stephen A. Smith has used his altercation with Bron Bron to turn it into a Taylor Swift tour, appearing on everything.
Yeah,
you cornered him at the Staples Center. Like, you think Stephen A. wasn't going to talk about that?
Right, like it's his job. I don't know what he expected.
Can't believe he inserted himself into the conversation. Want to thank Andy Mack and Bobby Ford for being in studio. Also want to thank CJ Hurt for being on the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.